And I'm saying I think I'll redo it eventually.
Now in trouble.
Is 10 o'clock. Please silence any noisemakers so we don't get interrupted. I'll call the meeting to order. It's 10 o'clock. Do a roll call.
Thank you. Well, he said it.
Oh, is it?
The agenda.
Should we do the lunch first?
Yeah.
We rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Listen, if I could better.
You'll be fine. We'll call. City is absent. Mike DeBoy
Here.
Sarah Herbert.
Here.
Harry Gerald.
Here.
Dan Hudson present. Chief is present. Any changes to the agenda for this meeting? So,
Say special meeting.
Special meeting. Yeah, this is not a normally scheduled meeting. We did publish this meeting on the website and Facebook and in the community. So, reflect our department's well represented. And so, the new business we're talking about is a bylaw statement. We are attempting to get a line of credit to take care of any emergency expenditures. And the lender requires us to have bylaws. Our bylaws are pretty much embedded in all of our policy manual, but because they don't want the policy manual to call things out of it, they wanted specific bylaws. So we have prepared bylaws, pulling most of the data right out of our policy manual. And I circulated that to the board. Any changes or adjustments to what's been prepared for the agenda for the bylaws?
Not that I can see, as long as that's going to meet the requirements of the bank, then I see no reason.
There is a copy passed around out there. If you had a chance to read it or look at it,
everything looks pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it was asking for a lot of data that's redundant, and instead I just referred back to the policy. I think it's supposed to be the other way around, but we'll make this work for now so we can get the bank online, and then we'll make adjustments as necessary later on and through resolution. Because this is bylaws, it requires a vote of the board and a resolution. So Carrie has prepared a resolution. And then I'll read this resolution. October 21st, 2025, Board Resolution 2025-004, a resolution adopting the constitution and bylaws of the Board of Directors of Klamath County Fire District Number 3. Whereas upon adopting the constitution and bylaws will enable the board to fulfill its statutory duties, and whereas, and a functioning body which requires a framework of rules within which to work in a fair and uniform manner, and whereas the Klamath County Fire District 3 Board of Directors shall adopt the attached constitution and bylaws as written by Board President Dan Hudson. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Directors of Klamath County Fire District 3 does hereby adopt the attached constitution and bylaws document as presented. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon its adoption. And then there's space for the board to sign and date the document. Any questions on the document or the resolution? So I'll entertain a motion we accept and sign the resolution and a second.
I'll make the motion to accept and sign it as written.
I'll second it.
We'll do a roll call vote. Cindy Ballard is absent. Mike DeBoy.
Aye.
Sarah Herbert.
Aye.
Harry Giroux.
Aye.
Dan Hudson. Aye. Okay, I'll pass this down for signatures. The motion carried, resolution signed. Second part of today's agenda is to discuss the ambulance financial situation right at current. And so, you mean on ballpark balance?
No, I can get
it in real time.
Okay.
Yeah, Nate.
It's like $5,500 back or something. Checks got cashed. Started out.
That was just the ambulance. So.
Yeah, that's just the ambulance. So this payroll is covered without transferring money from the. Meyer said.
About how much balance will be left after checks are cashed? Obligations.
Payroll was about just shy of $6,600.
Okay.
And then the taxes will come out over the course of the next week or two. So, the truth of the matter is, we knew a year ago that we needed a safety net. Unfortunately, our wages got us to this point, and a couple of some slow months, and now we have this government shutdown.
Okay, so this is, I figured out the insurance billing, which is great and not so great, and we could probably pull through if they didn't have the government shutdown. And I have called Angie like 4 times to figure out what's happening. Is that what we're getting? We're still getting our money back from our prior Medicare payments. So anything that we billed prior is still coming in.
Prior to October 1st.
Yes, from when we, yeah. What they're arguing about is our actual year add-ons. So not what we actually build, but because we get kickbacks for whatever. That's what they're arguing about. Like the 2%, 3%, and like 22, whatever, I don't know, percent. Anyway, these numbers right here is what they're arguing about. But instead of, I wanted to see if they could just bill our normal billing and not bill the kickback numbers, because that would keep us going. But I can't get a hold of her to see if that's even a possibility. If they cut us down completely, like if we don't bill Medicare, we can't keep the ambulance going. There's not enough money. Right now we have, we have about 30,000 still coming to us, but that's like,
So one thing I noticed today too that I don't really understand is I got a bill from Blake. They like to bill quarterly, which is kind of rather irritating from time to time. But if you go through and look, we're being billed for 14 in June, which makes sense to me. July, we got billed for 30. And my charting software says that at least 32 should have been billed in the calendar month. But the show billed.
That was for July.
For July. So I'm not sure why we only got a bill for 3 in July when there is a... There's 35 charts. 3 of them are closed out. So those are like refusals or deceased calls or something. We don't generally bill for those. So I got...
32. I didn't look at their actual... That's just their billing from them for how what they charge us, right?
Right, yeah. Right. But if they build 30 odd for us and only charge us for 3, I'm having a hard time. So I don't understand that.
I would have to look at the charts. I didn't look at that part. I was just trying to figure out how much money outstanding we had coming in to see if we could possibly float the ambulance to. I don't think we can. The good news is our spread is actually decent, like Medicare and, you know, all the private insurances. For August, we still have August, we have a good amount of money coming in. I don't know what the numbers were. I can match them up. But we have like 28,000 maybe coming in still.
But that's usually 60 to 90 days. So we should potentially be seeing it. The issue is... we have to be able to make payroll.
That's the issue.
And we can't, right now we're looking at a limitation on the board by the discussion of $5,000 borrowed to support ambulance services.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do not find it fiscally responsible to borrow a bunch of money to pay wages.
I'm with you.
I do not think so either.
Honestly, no. Shutting this ambulance down today is not an option that is viable, in my opinion. It's not something I am prepared to smile and swallow, regardless of our financial situation. I am willing, as a temporary stopgap measure, we have built a strong crew. I don't want to lose them. And people need to get paid. As a temporary stopgap measure, I am willing to forego paid your time, which is really the big kicker for wages, until this conversation can maybe be had again at the first of the year. I know Don Simpson is willing to do that, and I've heard from Xander, who is also willing to do that. This represents the rest.
Yeah. So, a couple things. In my understanding, from what we've discussed before, we can't ask for volunteer coverage of work that is normally compensated. It's great.
If we're going to pin ourselves to the wall for bureaucratic rules and regulations, then we might as well lock the door right now.
Well, that's, and you guys have been phenomenal as far as, we've not missed a call, correct?
Not because of being out of service. We only miss calls if we're already on the call.
So we've taken care of the obligation to the region. We've done a yeoman's job, a stand-up job. We can't ask people to volunteer, but if we not having paid your time, is that then just people are paid for response? And right now we're averaging one call a day.
We average our like just this last payroll was about $6,500. 1,200 of that ish represents actual calls that we're paying out. Roughly 5,000 is paid your time. $1,200 to $1,500 around is what we're paying actually running the ambulance.
I'd entertain, let the minutes reflect that Cindy Ballard has made it at 10:14. I'd entertain hearing from the crew. I don't know what the rest of the board feels about that.
I think it's a good idea.
They came up here. I think we should hear what they have to say.
And they're allowed to comment at this meeting.
Chief, what do you guys have to say?
I'm willing to do whatever to keep this box running. If that means finding the loophole to pay us as little as possible, I'm willing to volunteer all my time.
But can't volunteer.
Yeah, I'm willing to, but okay. If you have to pay us whatever amount is fine with me. If it's
legally what we have to pay is the hourly rate. We don't have to pay any major time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So if we did that, we could probably make it on the patient or the private insurance versus the Medicare. And I'm going to still keep trying to get a hold of Angie because I think that if we could just forego that and revisit that later, because what would happen is they would just go back and try to bill us again if they were to rebuild the kickback money. But if we could just bill our flat Medicare without the kickback, that would keep
it's pretty much automatic payment then, or we just...
So what happens is we bill, so last month we billed 11 Medicare. We billed $15,000 in charges. We are not allowed this $9,000 amount. So essentially we get $3,200 from Medicare from that $15,000. That's all we get. Beyond that, this balance goes away. That's like patient responsibility. Like, so if Medicare pays 80%, it could go back to the patient if they have like not a copay, if they had another secondary insurance. Okay. More than likely, we are not going to get that. So we just need to not expect that money. But these other ones, so like patient responsibility, we still have like $9,400 coming from that. When we get that, we don't know. These are the pay on these, they're there, but when we get them, we don't know versus we have these payments here. So this is what insurance pays out as soon as they bill them. So when Angie bills them, we get these payments immediately. So we know that. So like, I don't know if when you bill like Medicare, if you could see when they bill them out, we could, you know what I mean? Like when you guys
check. I can see when she marks the charts a bit.
So we should have, so we just closed August. So we still have September. Okay.
So that's the ambulance runs. Don goes on and QA/QI's all the charts on Monday. And then after each chart's proofread and double checked, they get marked send to billing. And within a couple of days, definitely within that same week, she hasn't
billed. She hasn't billed them.
Yeah.
So we're seeing payment like 60 days later is what's happening. So we're essentially 60 days behind of money coming in from like August.
Better than 90.
Yeah. Some of them are 90, and that's probably going to be like the patient and what's left that they hadn't paid. Responsibility.
We want to hear from more.
Well, I think Stephanie, same thing as Gracie, right? Willing to donate your money over time you can, right?
Yeah. So the biggest issue, we can't have you volunteer to do the job you're paid to. So that's
what private donations.
Our private donations, if we have had it out on the internet that we are accepting donations, but I think last month we had $200.
Yeah.
That's
some kind of campaign we can do.
One of the things that the districts have done in the past is do this subscription fee, but that takes a lot of effort and time, and in reality the benefit is between $4,000 and $6,000 for a whole year, so it's not huge, but certainly We could put word out again on the page, Facebook page and the website, that you know there are issues with funding and solvency of the ambulance and being able to provide a service.
That's what I said at the board meeting. I think we need to advertise that.
And that certainly will help to maybe leverage some more donations out of the community. The big thing is that the biggest objection we always face is the fact that occasionally the fire district tax funds to provide fire service gets taxed over and tapped to help fund the ambulance. And that's not right, number one. And yes, the plan is for those funds to come back to the fireside. The fireside budget isn't huge anyway, either. The ambulance billing is significant, but what we recognize in profit, I guess you can call it profit, for our services barely is enough to keep the ambulance going. There's no long-term funding issue abilities outside of maybe doing a special tax in the district, which the sheriff's department did, and it went down to a sounding result of no, about 90%, 85%.
The bottom line is the call volume. The we need more call volume, which was the whole push for picking up the rest of our fire district. So. Or if it's toe pain at 3 in the morning that you've been dealing with for 4 to 7 years, you want to go to the hospital, hop in. That's how we get made.
I should have called for my finger, guys. Sorry.
It's going to take a while to crawl out of this hole, but we should revisit this.
I'm with Nate. I think if we could keep it going somehow, we are... It looks good. It's just, there's a bubble somewhere.
So from you guys, are you willing, unanimous, no reservation about not having paid your time? I see heads nodding, all four. Okay. Board, discussion?
No. We're going to need to tears, though, but if you're willing to do that.
I think we need to put like a Facebook post or something to the community that says, like, look, you are going to lose your ambulance if we can't come up with funding. Like, be bluntly. I mean, I had no idea that this worked like this. Maybe people would be willing to send in
flawed system.
Some,
and it's not just here, it's state.
It's all across the nation, right? Every rural agency, and even in inside our own state, our local Bonnie Overcash, works for Basin Ambulance, is also the rural representative to the Oregon Ambulance Association. At their annual meeting this year, she was astonished that the number of agencies and professionals in this state that don't understand how the frontier for rural EMS operates at all, and the point that we're not the only agency that is struggling. So it's everywhere.
I one of my working partners for FEMA back up north just passed away. He was the chief, eventually the chief of a very major fire district in Pierce County, state of Washington. And we're talking a budget of $90 million. He got that agency, that grant, that GEMT grant, he got that for their agency. And they're multi-million dollar agencies.
I believe that we will get those add-on payments. The governor has to come back online.
But we're not looking until that funding until spring.
No, that's over and above the add-on payments that Sarah's talked about.
Yeah, yes.
That's a whole other program that should pay us upwards of $60,000 a year based on our call volume in the past. And it comes kind of like tax money. Comes mostly in one lump sum, then it trickles on and it's done.
And we're that add-on payment is potentially spring, fall?
From everything that we can see that Cameron and I looked at, it looks like it should be.
So there's two funding sources. of which if we stay solvent.
We weren't eligible for it last year, but all things indicate that we are this year.
For both? The add-on funds or the...
The ones she's talking about.
This is in. This is what the federal... They're fighting over this.
And that is all up in the air. The GEMT thing is different, but if that doesn't come through, more than likely neither will you.
We'll still get money from Medicaid. We just won't get these bonuses.
Yeah.
When your run times are 20 minutes from picking someone up to the hospital, yes, you can stack a bunch of calls when they're 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I took one the other night that we had a second one back to back. Chilquin took the second one. We need those calls. We can't be in two places at the same time, but it's revenue leaving our ASA to go be someone else's.
Okay. That's, so from the board,
is it going to help to pick up the rest of the ASA out here, LD and the states and all that?
Yes, that's why I want it.
That's requiring the...
But that is... I want it. Chief Stacy wants it in Chilliquin. And it comes down to our illustrious Klamath County Emergency Manager.
So what's his name?
Ian Thigpen. Good luck.
What is it?
Ian Thigpen.
So I'll entertain a motion from the board. I think we need to have a vote on this, whether we continue with no pager time, paid response time, or we suspend.
I want to be clear that this needs to be revisited.
Yes.
That these guys are willing to do this, but the fact of the matter is we got young people that are starting our lives. There's two young women who just got married and like people need to get paid. So we got to keep this thing solid.
Once this goes through and this comes about online, can we essentially back pay them? Is that allowed?
We can do whatever you guys want to do. I just want to ensure that conversation is just a thing.
I think you should just...
In the long run, we're not going to keep solid personnel if we can't pay.
I think it needs to be on the agenda monthly for until resolved.
Did you have another comment on that?
Absolutely, speak up, please. We want to hear from you guys.
Well, I think we need to visit the grants and also the private donations and stuff like that. I can emphatically say that this is your paramedic here, and we're willing to donate whatever we can to keep this thing running. One of the reasons we came back to the area when we got married is because that we wanted to take care of our community. So shutting down the ambulance is probably, in all respects, it's just something we can't see. So whatever we can do, and I can do, there's resources that we can look to. If we have to privately raise whatever, I'll do whatever I can.
So can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
So grant writing and fundraising, it needs effort. And
absolutely,
and this district needs it and recognize that. We need people to step forward and assist in those functions.
Right.
And right now we have Cameron, who is...
One of the problems with EMS grants is there's a bunch of them out there and they're all for equipment.
Yeah.
It is the Sahara Desert when it comes to paying wages. There's lots of things that we can apply for new EKG monitors and a new ambulance and things like that. But when it comes specifically, for whatever reason, I don't understand, wages in EMS is the thing that always comes back to haunt Burley.
So there's no grants?
Not the camera and I've been able to find in 14 months.
And I've looked for years, so.
I can find a lot for freshened up equipment and new stuff like that, but Cameron and I have been searching for 14 months and we haven't found a single one that would pay EMS wages.
One of the things we could look at is keep this on the monthly agenda, and if and when the GMT grant does come in and there is a significant payment, that funds be reserved for use during the low revenue months. The other thing though is equipment, it would be in probably an opportunity with grant funding to get equipment and a secondary ambulance.
Yeah, secondary ambulance would be great if there was somewhere to park it that wasn't my driveway.
Yeah, and it needs to be heated space. But yes, I understand that. I mean
it doesn't even really need to be heated space, it needs to be secure space.
And
that's only if we can afford to actually stock it, which right at this moment, if I clicked my heels together 3 times, I couldn't stock a second ambulance.
Yeah. So that's
where if we had a second ambulance and this one went out of service, it would be a matter of transferring everything that's on there onto, I mean, it's a couple hundred grand to outfit the back of an ambulance once you have the box.
Yep. So that's where grant funding would be essential. And not only that, keeping this ambulance on the road and having an ability to replace it when it needs to be retired.
This box already needs to be retired. Not necessarily the truck, but the box is a 98. It's falling apart around us. So, but even if we had $300,000 to buy a brand new ambulance today, if we ordered it today, we wouldn't get it for 2.5 years. And,
oh my.
That's the turnaround on there.
At the last ambulance advisory committee meeting, District 1 is having a box re-chassis to run the wheel off a 2016 truck.
Right.
It's only about $40,000 cheaper than a brand new ambulance, but they get their truck back in 6 months. So that's the advertisement to not getting a brand new ambulance, just re-chassing an old box.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, it's crazy money.
So but my suggestion would be to bring you on board as a volunteer special services type, like Cameron's doing, working with Chief.
And because I think that, I'm willing to do whatever I can.
Appreciate that.
As far as the donations and stuff like that, I mean, there's things that can be organized too.
Yes.
And I'm willing to do that.
So we also have the golf tournament this year, which ran into weather issues.
Still didn't do too bad.
So that is a yeoman's effort to get donations, things like that. So Allison has done that for years, and the last 2 years, and Chief and Cameron. And that's one of those kind of avenues that really could help.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm willing to do whatever. Maybe, I'm kind of a semi-famous actor. So
semi,
I am, and you know what? We can do fundraisers.
Yeah,
different things, and I can get on that immediately.
So, okay, awesome.
And I would love to do that with your guidance to whatever you think would be possible, and put it together.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Let's talk after the
meeting. Okay, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, kind of on that note, I think we need to somehow expand out of just our Facebook page, because there's a lot of people that don't even have Facebook.
We don't get a lot of traction on our Facebook page, for sure.
I mean, like, if we're trying
to the community page,
outreach that little bit.
We haven't reached out to the other community. We haven't reached out to Bly. We haven't reached out to Bonanza.
Right.
They're all in our ASA, so we need to reach out to those people and say, hey, look, this is what's going on.
So maybe so the,
look for a post in the next couple of days. I'll put one together for you.
I'm just saying, not everybody has the internet, especially a lot of elderly people. They don't even go on Facebook. So
right.
It's not necessarily a source that's going to get us the most, I guess, area. Well, what covered. If we did a function, like a dinner?
Yeah, we could do it here.
I'll donate pork.
For
we'll donate a lot of we have our business in Bonanza. It's called Veterans Corn, Coffee House, food trailer, stuff like that. We're building a gym. We could get people out there to do this, like GoFundMe kind of thing, stuff like that, if that would work.
And I think at something like that, you know, if we can gather people for a dinner or whatever.
Absolutely.
And then talk about what we are needing.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, something like that, just to get the word out. And flyers.
Yeah.
We can do that. We can start the whole campaign. I'll start working on it today.
Any ideas how to reach out to these other people that don't have Facebook?
Flyers
that
post office. The big problem is most people don't know what they don't know. I didn't know how any of this worked until I started doing
right.
Just no different.
So the more information they have, I think, the better off we'll be.
Well, we get a lot of views on our website. I looked at the analytics; it's quite high.
What about Boreal? I mean,
that's Lake Power, and that's volunteers to do that.
Maybe like
I'm willing. We can.
Well, we can work with Joyce and put together a mailer too at the post office.
Yeah.
You know,
in the post office, in where the boxes are.
Well,
anywhere.
She's guiding me towards where we can.
I
go
could probably come up with Bonanza's old mailing list.
Yeah, we'll
probably for Bonanza Ambulance's old subscription thing. If you guys are talking about doing some kind of mailer.
I just think we really, you know, that would be a benefit.
Sure.
So let me see.
I'd be willing to donate to that. I mean, as far as monetarily, whatever we got to do.
So let me suggest we put together a committee involving community and one or two people from the board to work towards public notification and fundraising effort. So voluntary donations. Without a subscription, because of the implications of the subscription, I think isn't beneficial towards the financing of the ambulance. My personal opinion, but I would somebody from the board here to volunteer to chair that committee.
No, dominate me then. I'll take it. Don't sit there and whisper at
me. So, Mike, you're a volunteer to chair that. Anybody want to have one person? We could only have two board members on a committee. So, does somebody else want to volunteer to assist me?
I guess we can do that.
Okay. And you want to meet with, I'm sorry, what's your first name?
My name is Richard.
Richard?
Yes, sir.
So, Richard, if you would meet with Mike and Cindy after the meeting here and maybe involve getting Karen involved with that a little bit, see if we could get her to voluntold that participation.
I nominate her. She's not here. Well, second, quick.
She's currently in the middle of helping me with something else.
But with her insight. Share her insight.
Quirk Cameron, she probably hears from all of us once a week.
She was able to get, I needed letters of support to go to the state for our size of upgrade grant.
Right.
And so what they asked me for was letters of support from prominent community members. And I kind of laughed and I told Cameron, I got, you know, any of these letters, so I'm not exactly sure who I should ask. She's got letters from her dad, fair enough. But she came up with a letter from Nichols and both Lithicums. So our seismic grant
because I have to submit a bunch of information, and some of it is like, hey, you guys should give these guys the grant because they do a good job.
When do you need that by, Nate?
I have it.
Stone. You need letters immediately?
No, he already has it.
He got them.
I don't need like 15 letters. I mean, two or three.
Okay.
Got four or so. That'll progress. And after talking to some of the folks at the state, they're not exactly sure what the issue is at District 4, but there should not be any, like, it sounds to me like between 7 and 14 days from the time the contractor submits a bill and the agency submits it to the state, that contractor's paid. There is no, like, that's the average. So,
okay.
So the only thing that it seems to me, the only thing that's going to hit us up is just not being diligent about submitting the bills on time. Because the guys at ZCS and also Cameron contacted Business Oregon that administers the grant, and that guy was super confused.
Okay.
So, and she talked to the lady that District 4 actually named as being the problem child in the situation. She's like, 14 days is the longest it takes for payments to go out. So,
we do have a bill for them, by the way, for a little over a thousand.
Well, if we recall, the application fee was going to be $9,000, and we were going to be on the hook for four of that. And so I expect we paid almost three.
Almost three.
And then this is just over one. So that's what I expected.
So I've been holding off.
We'll pay everyone. New taxes.
So then they're, So then they're just waiting on they call it ownership paperwork, but it's all the demographics of the agency and these letters of support.
Okay. Anything further? Good of the order?
I'm just sitting here thinking if this government shutdown sets up or quiets down and we can start getting some money rolled in, do we need to wait for a regular board meeting or call a special session to get these guys back paid?
I could call set up a secondary meeting before the next board meeting if it looks like financially worth it.
I want to get paid as much as the next person, but I think it's going to take a minute. So I think that this is fine to discuss at the regular board meeting. I expect this to maybe take a couple, 3 months. I don't know for a fact, but I do know that this one measly little boss is responsible for 25% of this county.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of people who really
depend on
them. Yeah.
The plus side is if they're still working, we could back pay them, but they're still bringing in money. If we shut it down, we're not bringing in anything.
That's right.
And if he, like, that was the trap that, to be quite frank, that was the trap that anything else got in. Where it was like, well, we only have enough people to cover 2 or 3 days, so we're going to go out of service the rest of the week. And so that's what they did for years. And it just slowly dwindled down. You're missing, you know, a pile of income.
Did we do a motion on the ambulance? So should we?
I don't think so. It's just been discussion.
Discussion.
I think we do need a decision.
So what should the motion entail? Should the motion entail recognizing the staffing commitment to getting paid for responses, but foregoing pager time, accepting that offer from the crew? Or should we just have a motion saying to continue ambulance services under the chief's direction with staff and leave the pager time, because that just involves them submitting pager time invoices, correct?
Are you telling me you want me to continue to collect pager time, but we won't
no. be paying it? Like, collect, keep, continue to collect?
I think we should keep a note of it so that if we do have the funding, we would like to
back pay.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah, it's, I guess. I don't know. It's my understanding that I got to keep time cards. So if there's official time cards in file that show this
page time
that we didn't pay out, do we actually?
That would probably not be.
I'm all for back pay. I'm not trying to talk you out of that. Also, not trying to like. I don't understand exactly how all the labor laws work, to be honest with you. And Mike Spencer has me all jittery from what is or isn't legally allowed because I don't actually know. So.
Okay, how about this? How about we just make a motion?
How about we call
it? I do know that we are required to pay for call time since that's what we are actually paying people for.
Yeah.
We are not required to pay, legally pay, page time on call time. Because when the conversation first came up about how much it should be, how much does it have to be? Well, it doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to exist. That's why I've made the joke for months that you're not paying me to work on paid time and not to drink whiskey.
Boy.
Is it working?
Well, I should hope so. So if you're going to make a motion, I don't think it has to be anything complicated.
Right.
I just think it has to be
continuation of services.
Yeah. We're gonna take a hiatus of paying paid time due to finances and continue to pay for response.
And keep the ambulance in service.
Keep the ambulance in service for as long as we can. I don't think it has to be too complicated.
And there's nothing wrong with like fundraising, right?
Not at all. So we're gonna work on that.
You're
with us.
So yes, sir. Absolutely.
So entertain a motion to continue ambulance service with pay for response time.
I make a motion to continue ambulance service with pay for response time.
Second that.
Roll call vote. Cindy?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Sarah?
Aye.
Carrie?
Aye.
Dan? Aye. Motion carried. Unanimous. Anything for the good of the order? I want to say, especially reach out to staff and just say thank you very much for supporting
very much
all community and your commitment to keeping this box in service. We are a very needy community. We service a broad area that's very needy. And I know from 20 years of volunteering effort, this often goes unrecognized. So we appreciate you guys being here and also coming forward and speaking. It's wonderful. Appreciate it. Chief, anything for the good of the order?
No.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Who seconds?
I serve seven.
Roll call vote. Cindy?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Sarah?
Aye.
Carrie?
Aye.
Dan? Aye. We'll adjourn the meeting at 10:48. Thank you.